Let's turn to Ephesians 1. And so we want to do a sharing on opening the eyes of our heart. And for the people in this room, for anybody watching, are excellent at seeing invisible things. For instance, if I lose something, I can contact Wendy and say, I lost my keys. She goes in another room and she says, check here. How did you do that? Her prophecy was like, also, I've given you the Ruach HaKodesh. I gave you the Ruach. How many people would have loved to have the Ruach? I've seen what happens when you get the Ruach. I've seen David. Or I saw Saul in his splendor for the first 20 years. I've seen it. If only I could get some of that. And they couldn't. But here we are. It's been poured out. Everybody in this room has done what I'm going to be teaching on. So what I want to do is actually take it to the next level. To be able to see things that are invisible and we will not see. You have to be intentional. And so I was listening to a teaching, and this guy was saying, there's a difference between when he asks you to do something and you say yes, that's good, and somebody volunteering. What else do I need to give? He said, can you imagine Donald Trump saying, I can give more? I don't need more, but give that guy a something. And he was explaining, there were people in the scriptures that specifically they offered more. And Yahweh noticed. What a relief. How busy is he? The rich young ruler, he offered more. He said, what must I do to be entered into the kingdom? Or to receive life, age, abiding, excuse me. And Yehoshua said, honor thy mother and father, do the commandments. I've done it. What did Christ say? He didn't say, no, you have not. You're lying. You're a sinful man. Get out of here. No, because you're right. And he goes, what more could I do? Who does that? Most of my life, I'm just trying to survive with his checklist. But there is more. And there's always more. We're going to read Ephesians 1. And in Ephesians 1, we're going to ask somebody to read verse 17 through 19. And we're going to focus on one of my weaknesses. Maybe you guys can relate. But I have a tendency to look at people and my brain measures them and it starts doing these tabulations of who they are and how I should feel about them. What is this? I look at their clothes. I look at their legs. Do they have good posture? Do they have nice teeth? Can they speak? And this thing. And then I make a conclusion. Any animal can do that. Any son of a beast can do that. Any son of a Cain can do that. And Ephesians 1, and hopefully this teaching, is to say we have the ability to look at people and see what's on the inside. We have the ability to look at people and see their potential. Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. Boom, and he changed. And we have that ability. But we have to be intentional with it. Somebody read 17 and 19, please.
I'm going to read 16 first.
Okay.
Cease not giving thanks in your behalf, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Yahushua the Mashiach, the Father of glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom and understanding in gaining a personal knowledge of him. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the surpassing greatness of his power unto us who believe, according to the energy of the grasp of his might, which he energized in the Christ, when he raised him from among the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, over above all principality.
That's good right there. He has given us a Ruach of wisdom and understanding. We know in 1 Corinthians 14 there's the manifestations. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. That you can look, and David Ramey is the best that I know of in this age, where when people are showing up, what David is doing is he is specifically tuning in. You have to be intentional. If you're waiting to speak in tongues and waiting, some people do. The majority of people, they don't. They're waiting for something. That was me. I waited for an experience. It never happened. Other people, they have done that. But the thing is, you got to tune in. And what I was interested in going to Kenya was, how does David have so such a good record of mighty works? And so I'm studying him, and it almost always starts with a word of knowledge. There's somebody in this room, and when he says it, they stand up, and guess what happens to the rest of the crowd? They gasp. And what he just did, and this is what some of God's generals would do, these people were gifted in increasing the faith of those around them.
Yeah.
And there's something contagious about faith, that when a miracle or a mighty work happens and people gasp, all of a sudden this level goes up, and then another one pops, and another one pops, and another one pops, and this thing, it multiplies. But they start with somebody, I forgot the guy's name, he's a Gade Moore, and he says, he's given the Ruach, and he says he works until he can see over this, and he can see over like a wall to see what's going on in the spiritual. And then he would see, and this guy, he could say, you live in Alabama on a dirt road on 11425 South Lark. Your father had black hair. His wife took off when you were two. You never had a mother. And it goes right in your eye. Whoa! What is that? That's walking into the supernatural. Hebrews chapter 11, it'll be page 231. And what's neat about with some of this stuff is my wife gave me a prophecy. And her prophecy was saying, don't try to use your eyes to understand the spiritual things. They are blind. You can't. These things don't work for the most part. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to be well-pleasing. So what must we do is we must be able to see, to open the eyes of our heart, to walk out. And somebody would read verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3.
By faith we understand the ages to have been fitted together by declaration of Yahweh, to the end that not out of things appearing should that which is seen have come into existence.
Everything that we see did not exist. Yahweh saw it before it existed. And it says in Colossians, Moses didn't know this. Wouldn't Moses like to have known that Yahweh saw Christ in a new earth, a son is going to be running a new earth with children that wanted to be there? There's no Cains, no Amalekites, no Democrats that hate their God. And Yahweh saw the new heaven and the earth before he got started. How did he do that? Faith. And we are called the sons of Elohim. And we get to choose to live like an Elohim and use the eyes of our heart to scan. Instead of looking at if somebody's overweight, if they have bad teeth or good teeth or their clothing and something like that, I can now start scanning the way our Father does. And possibly be speaking things into being. Think about that. Yahweh can give you a word for somebody who's a lump on a log. I want you to activate that one. They have no desire for this. And okay, you're going to be the man. Oh, whoa. That's what happened to me when I was 20. I'm not the guy. No, I'm not the guy. Couldn't get away from it. Turn to Luke chapter 19. 82, page 82 in the Rotherham. Luke.
19?
Yes. We're going to do Luke 19 and Luke 21. 19 verse 5. Yeah. And if somebody would read verse 7 through 9.
Of Luke 19.
Yes.
And all, when they beheld, began to murmur, saying, with a sinful man had he gone in to lodge.
I said we didn't read the beginning. Yehoshua looks up, and there's a guy named Zacchaeus in the tree. What does everybody know about this man? He's sinful. Look at him. He's a tax collector. Are they right?
No.
What fellowship does light have with darkness? If he's a sinful man, the Mashiach wouldn't have anything to do with it. He would say, depart. You brood of vipers, you had no problem calling people out. You whitewashed sepulchers, Zach, what did he say? I'm going to eat in your house. I got a prophecy from Troy Merritt. And he was talking about, use all your faculties, all your victories. Make sure you're reflecting on how far you have come, the things you've overcome. And the prophecy went on, because Yahweh is going to call on you to use those for the things that are in front of you, all of them. Mm-hmm. Some of the things you went through was not His will, but you survived. And now you're going to set other people free. And then he went on to say, who knows? Perhaps on the new heaven and earth, you're going to be asked to sit next to Father Abraham at a meal. Never thought about that. One meal. And I was like, golly. And the prophecy opened the eyes of my heart. And what do we know about Zacchaeus? He gives 50% of his income to the poor. Yeah. How did Yehoshua see that? He would have missed it. I would have missed it. He was scanning people. Word of knowledge. Now, we don't have his eyes and his brain and his perfect genetics, but we have him inside of us. And is the Ruach inside of us hindered? No. I got Christ's blood inside me now. So why, what he was doing, he's scanning. Scanning. Bingo! That's the guy! I'm eating at your house. Zacchaeus comes down. What happens? Look at Yehoshua. What is you doing? Surely you would know he's a sinful man. No, you guys are sinful. And you guys are the sinful ones. Love your neighbors yourself. Do you even know? Have you ever talked to him? Would Zacchaeus have told anybody else he gives half to the poor? Or are they just talking behind his back? I don't know. But I've talked behind people's back. And I look at somebody who's really obese and I make a conclusion. They got to get their life in order. And what I should be able to do is say, yes, they have weaknesses. But Aaron, do you see anything else? And go to Luke 21. The woman at the fountain is another one. People say, this wicked woman at the fountain, the Samaritan. And Yehoshua never reproved her. My dad has a client who had three husbands. They all died. My brother grew up with a kid, and his last name was Riggles. She was a widow three times. She married three race car drivers. They all died racing cars. She didn't do anything wrong. Probably didn't pick the safest occupation. What did she do wrong? She's sinful? The woman at the fountain, if there was sin, Yehoshua had no problem saying, you brood of vipers, repent. He didn't. 21 verse 1 through 3, and looking, Yehoshua, he saw the rich who were casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor woman casting in thither two mites, and he said, of the truth I say unto you, this destitute widow more than they all hath cast in. How did he do that? Well, he could tell she's poor. No. He could see right into her. This is all she's got. And somebody could have been dressed, and he was not tricked, but he was seeing. And we can see, too, sometimes when somebody's making an offering triple of our own. Look at this guy, what they did. What did they do? Have you ever had that? All of a sudden, Yahweh goes, look at this person. There's something special. I don't get it. And all of a sudden, something happens. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. And in 9 verse 4, this is the paralytic. His sins are forgiven as he's lowered through Yehoshua's house, is what it looks like. And in verse 4, and Yehoshua knowing their inner thoughts. They're like, man, he knows their thoughts? What? John 14:12 says greater works are available to us because he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We could get to the point where we could start seeing people's thoughts. And wouldn't that be great? Because there's some people in our lives, they shouldn't be in our lives. They look great, they act great, and you're always going, this is a mess and it's contagious. Actually, I got a prophetic word this morning about somebody, And I got to, I said, there's people put into your life to hinder you. And you keep them in your life because there's something that you like. That's why we keep people in our circle. But don't forget what happened to Samson with Delilah. He never got his eyes back. There's people, you got to get rid of people. And if they don't get whole and get clean, you say, I can't go there anymore. And I'm like, wow, how many times have I kept people in my circle when I shouldn't have done that? That's opening the eyes of our heart and set things out. Christ knowing their thoughts. And then think about that. If Christ knows their thoughts, what was Christ thinking? My Father knows my thoughts. And here he is controlling his thoughts, and it says in Colossians that Christ reconciled everything. His thoughts, Christ knows our thoughts. What do I try to do is, because sometimes my thoughts are garbage. Where did that come from? Those were not my thoughts. I rebuked them. Those are the thoughts of the genetics of Adam and Eve. I don't know how they got in here, but they can't stay. And he's going to say, good, thanks for cleaning my temple. And then 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, do not look at the height or the countenance of these people. I look upon the heart, Shamuel. And did Shamuel, Samuel the prophet, know how to see the invisible? Absolutely. But did Yahweh reveal it to him? No, he did not. Yahweh was making him do what? Produce faith. How exciting. Mm-hmm. Do you want a boring life? No, I just make it all simple. No, even Moses and Samuel at the very end. If you think about Samuel, you are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Yeah, I need to retire. 20 years later, he's anointing another king. Oh, another administration. I thought I was going to retire. But what I want to encourage all of us is to practice looking at people and ask yourself, what do you see? Christ said, he goes, you went out into the wilderness. What did you go to see? What did you go see? And here's John the Baptist. Is that what you were looking for? No. What were you looking for? I was looking for a prophet. What does a prophet look like? Maybe they thought a prophet would look like a high priest. What did they find? Nothing impressive about this guy. And my wife loves Peter and the Chosen. Because anytime John the Baptist, he's like, the bug eater.
They say what?
The bug eater. He calls John the Baptist the bug eater. He's like, yeah, he's the bug eater. He's joking. But still, what is that? It requires faith. And turn to Isaiah 53. And as you turn in there, we should ask ourselves and learn how to exercise Isaiah chapter 53. If we saw Saul of Kish, what would you have seen, Aaron? Would Aaron have seen Saul of the least families of the least tribe of Benjamin? That's what Saul saw. What did Yahweh see? Yahweh saw the king. The man who was going to unite all the tribes into a group. There had not been a group like that probably since Moses. Don't quote me on that. What did Yahweh see? What would Aaron have saw if he saw Gideon in the wine press? I would have saw the least of another tribe, the least of the least. And you're hiding. You're not our deliverer. What did the messenger see? Mighty man of valor. We have that ability. What would we have seen with Zacchaeus? Would we have seen a sinful man? How about Elizabeth? What would we have seen?
Old lady.
We would have saw an old lady. Too bad for her. No kids. But we can say, what do you see? And he can say, he always can say, nobody's ever asked me that. That's Elizabeth. Go talk to her. She's going to breastfeed in a minute. It's going to blow your mind. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 and 2. If somebody would read that for me.
Who believeth what we have heard, and the arm of Yahweh, to whom was it revealed, when he came up as a sapling before him, and as a root sprout out of dry ground, he had neither beauty or majesty. When we beheld him, there was nothing to behold that we should desire him.
What did the Mashiach look like?
Normal.
Nothing. You would not have seen him in a crowd. My sister did a teaching when I was 20. I came back and Dina was doing a teaching, a Bible study of the first fellowships. And she read that, and I ripped my garment. That's for me! I know what he looks like! Because in my whole life, I knew what he looks like. He's a good-looking guy. I wrestled with that, and he was going, that's just like AI saying George Washington's black. He's not black. He's white. But we have our own images about Yehoshua. What did he look like? He probably looked like some of the people that I get irritated with. I look at them and I'm irritated. And what did he look like, Aaron? You would have missed him. Aaron would have missed John the Baptist. He would have missed Saul of Kish. He would have missed Gideon. And I could have missed Christ today. What did he look like? And could he show up today? Were there times he showed up that he didn't even recognize his face in the book of Acts? Mm-hmm. Who was that guy? Probably a really average looking guy. And so so opening the eyes of our heart. So Father, I thank you for helping us see people the way you see, so that we can activate and not just activate, but also to appreciate your favorite people. I know that one time I was in the gym and I looked at somebody and they irritated me, and they really irritated me, and then all of a sudden my brain came up with so many conclusions why they irritate me. And then Yahweh, through the Ruah, said, what if that was your brother Israel? And it crushed my heart. I was thinking that I love my brother. He goes, that's somebody's brother. Huh? I repent. So Father, I thank you for opening our eyes and helping us be what you've called us to be. Amen.
Amen.